Hello, everyone. I am Coach Lisa here with you tonight. You are here for the body image and sex call. We focus a lot on intimacy. And on this call, what I would like you to know is this is a very safe space. You can ask whatever questions you want of me, I'll answer them. If you want to say hello in the chat, that would be great as we get everybody in here. Okay, I think we're all set up. Yep, I have my name. If you would like to be coached on this call, please raise your hand. If you would like to come on stage with me and talk through something, again, please raise your hand. What makes these calls great is when women are brave and they do that and they get up here and we can talk something through. Our primary focus tonight is, like I said, body image, intimacy, and sex. I have a bit of a topic that I wanted to bring to all of you. Let me see who's here. Oh, we've got Lisa and Sue and Jen and Christy and Susan. Hi, everybody. People from all over the place. And so you know, I don't know if all of you know. You need to hear all of this tonight, Christiane. I love that. Oh, I would love to know why. Why do you need to hear it all? And what exactly do you need to hear? I am the one and only Canadian coach. Don't hold it against me, but I am. And what I love about this membership is we have people from all over the place. Hi, Cheryl from Florida and Buffalo. See, everybody from all over the place. It's so great to see where you all come from. These are your favorite calls. Excellent. What makes them your favorite calls? I'm very curious. That's the one thing I'd really like to know. I mean, I'm here for all of you, and I want to make sure that you're getting your questions answered. And this is definitely the place where you can ask me anything about intimacy, about sex, about anything that you think might help you to bring more joy, more pleasure to your life, that's what we're here to talk about. You've been gaining confidence from these calls. That's excellent. And you love that I'm open to any questions. Of course. Yeah. And Bernadette from Hawaii, very cool. And someone else from a small town in California. Amazing. So one of the things I realized we haven't talked about in a while, and I'm not sure if it's because everybody's just having a great time and intercourse isn't a problem, or if we've just settled down and haven't been asking about it too much, is pain during intercourse. It's a real thing. It tends to happen for so many different reasons, and I think we just don't talk about it enough. I have one client who I have been talking, we've been talking back and forth, and she's been experimenting with a whole bunch of different types of lubes to help with this type of thing. And then we actually came upon a solution that I think is going to be very helpful for her, something she hadn't necessarily thought of. And that is more foreplay. Who doesn't need more foreplay? So I kind of have some things that I can talk about and that I can explain to that. Lisa, this is my first time doing this call. Excellent. One of the things I'm, okay, MJ told me that I should be also mentioning is apparently all y'all in this membership think that all I can talk about is sex. So if you're ever looking into private coaching, I am one of the ones that does private coaching. So, sure, if you have a sex issue, if you have an intimacy thing, if you think you want to come and talk about something that you find embarrassing, then for sure, I am your gal. But you know what? I do an awful lot more than that. I am also very well trained in the neuroscience and the in your body, trauma responses, all that sorts of thing. I've had a lot of very similar to training as Coach Kathy has. So I am also your girl for that too. And just about anything else. One of the other places Well, thank you. Christy says I'm an amazing coach. And Audrey says, even if you don't have se sex issue, Lisa's an amazing coach. Yes, you don't have to talk to me about sex, but you sure can. I also work a lot with executive women. That's another one of sort of my forte places is how to help executive women get more, ask for more. So very diverse, and apparently the membership doesn't know it that much. So I am going to start letting you all know. That's what I'm about. But tonight, you've got me here for sex and intimacy. So let's talk about that. If you have, again, please raise your hand if you'd like to do some coaching. If you have questions, you can pop them in the Q&A and you can put questions there anonymously if you feel more comfortable with it. So feel free. Those questions are how we all learn. So let's start to be brave. Sharon is a Canadian living in Mexico. Great topic, huge issue for me. Yeah, I would love to live in Mexico, Sharon. Okay, so the topic of sometimes sex hurting is a topic I think we don't talk about often enough. It's some for some people, it's hurt forever. Like it could have hurt all the way along. It may, you know, it's always good to get checked out by a physician or a doctor to see, is there anything physically going on? A lot of times it's things like fibroids or could be cysts, or you want to make sure that things are the way they're supposed to be physically. And then you can also start exploring on your own about what is it that's creating the pain. You'll want to know when it happens. Does it happen all the time? Does it happen just sometimes? And does it happen just from external touching, or is it just internal? And then we're going to go a bit deeper here. Is it just internal? Is it with the penis in the vagina? Is it perhaps the size of the penis? Or does it happen no matter what size object you have? Object sounds funny, but you know what I mean. What size penis or fingers or vibrator or dildo, what you're using. That's what you want to check out. And then again, is it everywhere? This is all information that you're going to need, especially if you do end up speaking to a physician about it. They're going to want to know where is the pain exactly so that they can help you diagnose what's going on. So that was a lot of information. Those were the big things you want to question. Recognizing too, it can be perimenopause, menopause, like all those changes in our body make things different. Sometimes we're recovering from traumas or surgeries or things like that. Or it could also be like this disconnect you have from your body. I've seen that a lot too when we're overweight. If we're not happy with the size and the shape of our body, that disconnect can become like even greater. So that can have a lot to do with the pain and the sensations that you experience during intercourse. So I want you to keep that in mind. You don't have to just suffer through this. There is ways to deal with it. There is ways to get diagnosed. There is ways to figure out what you need. So what I'm going to kind of stick to is what you can do on your own. So I'm going to assume you've checked it all out, that there's nothing medically going on aside from perhaps dryness. That could definitely be a thing that that's something. So if it is something like dryness, you're going to want to make sure you're always using a good lubricant. And there are lots of lubricants that state that you can put in beforehand. There's lubricants you can use at the time. One thing I will say is I found when I had pain further up inside, water-based lubricants seem to work a little bit better for some reason to they seem to like get up there a little bit better. But you can choose. There are many different types of lubricant. And you'll want to look at that as well. Sorry, somebody in the chat or Q&A asked, are we going to cover body image? Yes, I would love to know what body image questions you have. And if you want coaching on some body image issue, please raise your hand. So, can body disconnect affect how much you want to have sex? Absolutely. It absolutely can, because if you're sort of disconnected from your body and you're not really feeling it, it can make you either It could really go both ways. You could want more sex because you're trying to find it. Very similarly to, you ever eat something that you're expecting is going to taste amazing and then it doesn't? So then you want more of it because you're like, no, this is supposed to taste amazing. And so you eat some more, going like chasing that amazing taste. That's one way that if you have this body disconnect, you can want more sex, but also you can want less because you're not connected to your body. You're not connected to how it can help you with pleasure. And you don't really give yourself that permission for that pleasure because you're very disconnected from your body. So Elizabeth was the one that asked that question. And yeah, if you have any other follow-up to that or want to raise your hand to talk about it, we sure could. So back to pain during intercourse. Using foreplay can really help reduce the pain and increase your comfort. So I want you to remember that as we age, like foreplay isn't just like the warm-up or the how we get into it. It's how your body gets ready. Your body gets ready to allow pleasure, to allow the sensations, how it relaxes. And so that foreplay really matters more than anything. Like as we age, those estrogen levels are dropping, your vaginal tissues get thinner, and your bodies are just taking longer to respond. So it's not a problem that we have to figure out. It just means we need a little bit more time. We need more attention. And often it comes down to needing more lubrication, whether we wait for our body to create it, which mine really doesn't do very well at that, or we use an external source of lubrication. So, what I want you to do is to slow down and try to listen to your body, right? There are some people who really do need like 20 to 30 minutes. But depending on what you've had up until now, remember, even like 60 seconds, 90 seconds of some actual, like when you get a massage, you can massage your vulva the same way you would get a massage on the rest of your body. And just like kneading and rubbing and all of that can really help the blood flow to the area, which is going to help you with that lubrication, right? Touching, caressing anywhere, but all of those things are going to really help you with that. So, next comes the idea of speaking up to those around you. You know, speaking up, being willing to reach out to maybe a physician, being willing to reach out to your partner. And the point I really wanted to bring up, because again, it's come up in a lot of different places through these calls, is how to communicate. We have communication issues all the time with our partners and with people around us. So, what I like to teach people is the three C's of communication: be calm, be clear, and be collaborative. So, if you can bring it to your partner, him or her, about, okay, how can we work on this together? Christy in the chat said, and talk to your partner about it. My husband felt like he wasn't doing something right if lube was needed. Exactly. It can be something that there's some misconception somewhere. And so we definitely want to talk about that. But that's where that collaborative conversation can be very, very helpful. You know, stating your needs, like it would help me feel more relaxed if we let go of focusing on intercourse just for a little bit. Could we try to go slower tonight and just focus on touching? There's so many different ways to talk about this. It's one of those things that you can experiment with. You know, explain what you've learned. So I know a lot of us can, sometimes there's fear of like rejection or guilt or something. But I want you all to really know that, like Christy mentions it in the chat, it's very normal to have these types of conversations. A lot of people who have amazing sex lives, they have these conversations. They don't just wait for the amazingness to just happen to them. It's a way to self-honor It's a way to take care of yourself and your needs. And it's also a way to help your partner understand what they are, right? You're giving them a flashlight in a dark room, you're helping them see. And that creates true intimacy that's really going to have an effect on all of your interactions in and out of the bedroom. So, again, as far as if you were going to go to talk to a doctor, all the things I said at the beginning. Understand, like, be clear about what you're seeing your symptoms as, when, where, why. And you can use the same kind of language. Like, sex has become painful, and I'm hoping you can help me understand why. Or, I'm experiencing dryness or discomfort. Can we talk about solutions? So ask them to brainstorm with you how they can help and what things they might need to do to rule certain things out. I had a fibroid and it was so painful for the longest time. I think it was like over a year. I'd had an ultrasound once and they're like, no, everything's fine. And then it kept going and kept going. And then, like, months and months and months, it was, like I say, almost a year later, I went back to my doctor and sort of pushed again and said, like, this doesn't make sense to me. Why is sex so painful? And it specifically was painful if my partner was behind me, and that angle that he was coming at. And so when my doctor heard that, she's like, well, let's get another ultrasound again and see if we can see any changes. And when I went to that ultrasound, I'm getting this ultrasound done, and the ultrasound tech says, oh no, that's just your fibroid. And I'm like, what? What do you mean my fibroid? I didn't know I owned a fibroid. Like, I didn't know at that time, I didn't know anything about it. I guess they'd seen it on that first ultrasound. But she just was like, oh yeah, that's just your fibroid, as if that's just your neighbor over there. It's like, oh, okay. But I guess it had gotten bigger, and so then it did need to be addressed and dealt with. But it's just so funny how at one point it was just, oh yeah, that's just there. And until I spoke up about it again and said, no, listen, this is not okay. I want freedom when I'm having intercourse. I don't like this. And it had gotten bigger, so it was like I could feel it a lot more, and it was more painful. You got to speak up for yourselves, right? The other thing with that is, know that there are pelvic floor therapists out there, and I have one of them, and she is the best person ever. I love it. She hel has helped me with so many things. I just feel like everybody should have a pelvic floor physiotherapist. Okay, so I want you guys to all think about, is there anything that you have been tolerating in silence in the bedroom, out of the bedroom? And what would you do if you were to believe that your needs were valid and worth speaking about? Like, what would support look like for you? And how can you start asking for more of it? All right, let me see if there's more questions. Okay, Janet, I'll get to that. I have a question here in the Q&A. Can overstimulation cause pain during intercourse? Absolutely. Overstimulation can definitely cause pain during intercourse. It's kind of like almost friction burn in a way. So that would be one of those scenarios where we're trying to figure out, when does it happen? So if the pain starts right away, we know it's not caused by overstimulation. But the other point is, if you've got enough lubrication, we could avoid getting to that overstimulation part. You just may have to, if it's going for a long time, yay for you. And that you just may need to, like, reapply the lubrication to make sure that there isn't any of overstimulation. I enjoy clitoral orgasms, so that for me takes, like, direct pressure on the clitoris, and that can get very overstimulated. If I've had a couple of drinks and decide that I want to try that, doesn't always work. And sometimes that poor thing gets very overstimulated in my efforts. But what happens is my head is disconnected. because I've had too many drinks, like three, four drinks. My head is disconnected. So it's all about the whole body being in sync. And yeah, I hope that answered your overstimulation question. I feel like I kind of answered it from a bunch of different angles. So if that didn't, please post again in the Q&A and I can make sure that I'm actually answering your question. Let me see the Q chat. How are you all doing over here in the chat? Many times I have difficulty communicating my sexual needs with my husband because I don't know what I need. I think I need to work on identifying my needs first. Jen, you are nailed it on the head. Absolutely. That, as some people may know, is usually my first assignment when you want to be able to speak to your partner about what you need and want. You gotta know it yourself. So I love for people to spend some time and don't just like I said, I like clitoral stimulation. When you're spending some time with yourself, that doesn't mean you're going and you're doing what you know works. That means you're going and you're playing, you're having some fun, you're maybe having a bath, or you're getting some different toys out that are different that maybe you wear something silky or some feathers, or I don't know. Like, there's all types of ways to really think about, do I like light touch or do I like firm touch? What is it that you like that kind of gets it going for you? And if you watch things on TV, like, I'm not talking porn, but if you watch things on TV, you'll get a sense too of, oh, that was kind of sexy what I just saw. Like, the way someone approaches someone, you want to kind of explore your whole body. Like, what other erogenous zones do I have on my body? You got to know for yourself so that you can speak up and tell your partner. Or you spend a lot of time with your partner and say, look, let's take our time and figure out what we each like. Janet has said, I would love to hear more about pelvic floor therapy. What does it entail? I have been preceded that. Oh, okay. So a pelvic floor physiotherapist, they will often they'll talk to you about what's going on and everything else. They will often want to do an internal exam, and essentially they're going in the vagina and they're checking all the muscles all the way around that make up your pelvic floor, right? I guess it's more like this. All these muscles that go around and they're making up your pelvic floor. And all of those play a big part in your bladder control, your abdominal muscles. They're even tied to like your back and bladder control, all of those things. And so they will go in and they will actually check each one of them for you and have you usually activated or not, or they. From my experience, she talks, the one that I have, she talked me through everything. And it wasn't just me. My daughter actually had a baby recently and she has gone to see her as well. So she also had the same experience. But they will then be able to give you exercises to do if need be. It's not always what you think. For me, some of the original issue, once we got the fibroid thing figured out, was also, I don't release the muscles fast enough, and that's a bit of a mind-body control. And I think that's again why I said it's more difficult for me to have an orgasm if I've had several drinks, is it's a mind-body thing. So I have apparently still pretty good muscle control down there, even after having three children. So I have pretty good muscle strength. I just don't let it go quite as well. So that's been my practice of, okay, clench the muscles, let it go. Clench it, let it go, right? And the relaxing. So it's a very safe space. This is a doctor, pelvic floor physiotherapist who knows exactly what they're doing. So I would encourage you to go there with open heart. All right. How do you find a good doctor for females? I'm thinking about changing doctors and I don't know where to start. I'm 68 and my male doctor is too general when I discuss my issues. It's a very good question, Sue. I would love, because see, here is where an issue where I am Canadian and I think things are a bit different in the States. I would love for anybody else in the chat to share. How have you found your doctors? I'm sure there's got to be directories or referrals or places that you can search for that in your area. But let's see what anyone else has to say. How do you find a good doctor that you know will be good for your for a female? And okay, I do have somebody with their hand raised. So, Whitney, you have your hand raised. Hopefully, you mean to. I am going to bring you up and we can have a chat. Maybe. I think I can hear you. There we go.
Hi, Lisa.
Hello, Whitney.
So it's not a sex question today. Is that okay?
Sure, what kind of question is it?
It's a body image issue.
Fabulous. Yes.
Okay. So my husband and my anniversary was July 3rd.
Okay.
And my daughter helped me pick out an outfit, and it was kind of traumatizing to me a little bit. First of all, I'm the smallest I've ever been as an adult.
Okay.
I'm the healthiest I've ever been.
Yeah.
Bonuses, our sex life's the best it's ever been.
Okay.
But when I went shopping, I was super overwhelmed, and this was before the event. So it took me a really, mostly because I'd been shopping in plus size my whole life, and I'm no longer a plus size, and it was very overwhelming.
Okay.
I finally found an outfit which ended up being pieces that I ordered, and so I didn't try them on until the end, and my daughter helped me choose. But
Okay.
they were smaller than I'd ever worn before, and I was really, I'm gonna say I was uncomfortable because they were tighter than the clothes I'm accustomed to. So before the couple of days before, I think what I did, I was okay when we went on our date. I felt fine, and but I think what I did is I think I like under ate the whole time before the date, like a few days before the date, like really under
Okay.
ate.
Okay.
And we went on the date. We had fun. It was fine. Nothing terrible happened, right? Like it was fine. I didn't die. Nothing happened. But I kept seeing. In my mind, I kept seeing my old body in my new clothes.
Okay.
And I'm down about 128 pounds.
Okay. So that makes sense, right?
Yeah, I still am not familiar with my body.
Yes. Okay.
But then after the anniversary day, we took some days off and we played and we ate and I overate. Like overate so much that I gained like 7 pounds when I weighed in the next week.
Okay.
And I feel like I did that because I restricted so much ahead because I wanted to look good.
Yeah.
I'm 47, so I've been on a diet since I was probably 15. And I don't know how to get past that. I don't know what thought work I should have done ahead of time to prevent me from doing this. There's still body parts I'm super uncomfortable with being shown.
Yes.
Like I have a lot of skin and I'm okay
Yeah.
with the skin because I'm not naked very often, right? Like to other people. My husband doesn't care if he's fine with me being naked, but like with
Okay.
around other people. So I don't wear sleeveless things. So the shopping of course was traumatic to me because I don't wear sleeveless things. I don't wear things above my knees. I don't really want to show my legs, but I will if I have to. And the last one, the outfit I picked covered me up enough, and I felt good for seconds. And then I would see my old body again. Like I would see my old body wearing this and thinking, people are going to be thinking, like, why is she thinking wearing that? And the crazy
Okay.
thing is, there are people that are way bigger than me, like bigger than my heaviest, that don't have a problem wearing bikinis at the beach, and I don't have a problem with them wearing a
That's
bikini at the
them, and
beach.
this is you,
Yeah,
right?
yeah, yeah.
So let's sort of just sweep that one off the table. That's a. That can be a whole thing on its own, like this compare and despair. But I think for you, it's there's a lot of like build up around all of this. A lot of it. Like I was traumatic shopping. It was so I get it. What
It's
did
like being used to, it's like being used to, like, I don't know if you have Cane's in Canada, but Cane's Chicken, which has four options, and get be given a Cheesecake Factory menu that has like 1,272. That's the shopping experience. Like, I used to be
When
able to go
I
to this store. They
yes. Yes. I went into a store one time and I was over there shopping in the 2X sizes and the saleswoman came over to me and said, "Ma'am, can I help you?" And I'm like, "Oh, I'm just kind of looking around." She goes, "Well, you might be more interested in looking in where your size would be." And I just looked at her. I'm like, "What do you mean?" Like she goes, she says, "I think you're probably over here." And I'm like, "Oh." I was that disconnected to it that it took a salesperson to come over and say, "You need to try on this size of this large." And I was like,
Yes. And I will
okay.
say, I was trying to mentally prepare myself because I was telling my group, my accountability group, how worried I was. And
Yeah.
then something had happened the day before I left work, and I had poured I drink a shake on the way to work. Well, it has kale in it, so it's green. It looks like baby poop. It looks gross. Anyway, it tastes delicious, and it spilled all over me. And my husband
Habit.
works at the same place I do. And I had to borrow one of his shirts,
Yeah.
which swallows me now. And we used to be the same size. And I was thinking, oh, I needed that so that I would know I could fit in my clothes, but it wasn't enough. Like I still kept
No.
seeing.
This is something you're going to work on over time. You're going to work on over time by when you get those glimpses in the mirror, I want you working on connecting with this is my body. This is my body now. This is my body, right? You can have you ever done tapping at all?
Only on my hand. That's the only thing I've ever tapped was my
Okay.
hand.
So you could even just do it on your hand, but there is a whole routine. I do a lot with my private clients. There's a whole routine you could do just on this is my body. What you're trying to do is bring that peace into this is my body. That acceptance is what you're looking for, right? It There's this, that's a disconnect. You've just got this disconnect between what your brain's thoughts are and your body. Now, as far as traumatic shopping, what I can tell you about that is that can happen to anybody, anybody at all, especially those of us that went through COVID and then started going back out into stores. There was a lot of trauma going to these places and overwhelm. And it literally happened to my daughter just the other day. We went to this small little cute grocery store thing, but was packed with people. And she just started crying. And again, it wasn't really related to anything except that, holy shit, there's just a lot of people and it was just a lot of stimulation. And I think that's what happened for you. A lot of stimulation from different places, a lot of your own judgment, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of what the hell clothes do I buy? And so it is very normal.
Your body changes too, and you no longer, like, what looked good on one size body may not look as flattering or may look more flattering on another.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the kind of thing you want to just remind yourself it's okay and just breathe. I've had to do it in the change room. Okay, just breathe. Literally, I don't have to try any of this stuff on if I don't want to. Know your own limits and know, take care of yourself as you're doing that. So that also we can maybe leave that there
I
and go,
don't think I
oh,
could have gone shopping by myself.
no.
If I'm going somewhere and I know what I need and I know where it is, that's okay.
Yeah.
But if I'm having to find something for an event or find something, like, I wore maxi skirts for the last two.
I apologize. My car is not talking to you. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, we can still hear you okay, I think. There we go.
But I It was so much. I did come home, I cried. And my husband's like, "You're making a big deal out of nothing." But it was something to me. Like, it was not nothing. It was horrible. Like, it felt horrible. It didn't feel like empowering. I didn't feel beautiful. I didn't feel awesome. I felt incredibly overwhelmed, and I felt like, how can I be in this position now? Like, and I felt that way before when I was really big. When you don't feel anything looks right for an event and everything you try on's garbage. But now I can't even find things to try on because I don't know where to look. I don't like it. And I don't want to dress like I'm 18. I am 47 years old. I want to look 47. It's great that some 47-year-olds can look 18. I don't want to be 18 again. I hated 18.
But it's a great example that you're bringing forth, Whitney, that the size isn't what changes what's inside of us.
No.
Inside of me, there's still all those fears that I gotta pick the right thing. I gotta find something that looks good, that there's all this judgment about what looks good. There was when you were heavier, and there is now. That
Yep.
stuff hasn't changed. So, on one hand, you talked a little bit about, next time you're gonna prepare yourself a little differently for the trip. You're gonna plan exactly where you're going, who you're going with, and I would want you to sit down and sort of visualize it and think through. Okay, I'm gonna breathe, I'm gonna be there to support myself, and I'm just gonna try some things on. And I would actually encourage you to go do this as an exercise
Oh
of
gosh.
make
Oh,
an appointment
okay.
with. So just go, maybe it's you say, I'm going to go try on two pairs of pants, or I'm going to go try on two skirts. Like, set a boundary for what you're going to do to just create that safety with yourself that it's okay. You're allowed to not like the way they look. It's okay. And
Okay.
for you to support yourself. So that would be something I would suggest for you to do, because chances are there's going to be another opportunity where you're going to actually need to shop for something for an event, right?
Right.
So this is an assignment that will help you get to that place where you can feel more comfortable doing it.
Well, I don't want to have another like event where I just don't eat because I want to make sure it looks good because that's crazy to me. Like,
Yeah.
to me, the reason I joined No BS is not to live that way anymore.
Yeah.
But it's
So
so easy. It's so easy to get back into that. And then, of course, you feel like deprived and like, well, I didn't eat for like 3 days. So now I can chomp away and you feel like garbage. You do not feel proud about yourself. Nothing makes you feel proud about it.
that is the second part. The second part is, again, how it affects you and what you're eating. And if you're wearing something that you're not comfortable in, that's super tight or showy in a way that you're not comfortable, and you're led to this type of thinking that, oh, I need to still like starve myself. Yeah, not the right outfit for you. That's the first thing,
It's good
not the
to
right,
know.
right?
Yeah. Well, and when I tried on the larger size, I was comfortable. And my daughter's like, "That
Okay.
doesn't fit, Mom. That doesn't fit you at all."
Yeah.
I'm not used to wearing clothes that fit, honestly. Like, I truly am not used to wearing clothes that actually fit me.
Which probably makes sense then why, even though maybe it fit you because of your discomfort,
Yeah.
that's when you triggered that I better not eat, even though the outfit probably fit you just fine.
It did. I had to, when I put the large on, she's like, it's too baggy. And I kind of have big boobs still.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of tight when I put the medium on, but it fit nicely everywhere else. But I just, in my head, I kept thinking, this is what you looked like at your heaviest. Like, I keep seeing my heavy body and thinking, what am I thinking? Like, what am I thinking? And
Yeah.
then it's the day of, it's too late to change what I'm wearing. Like, I don't have very many options. And like I said, I literally have cleaned my closet. I've worked on cleaning my closet out because my daughter says I have a problem wearing things that are too big for me all the time. Like I put on pants today and I was like, oh, I need to lose about 10 more pounds before these fit. And she's like, those fit. That's how pants are supposed to feel. Like,
Yeah, but you have a new body that's new to you.
it's very new to me.
It would
It,
make
it's
sense. Yeah.
like
This is.
it's I think I've been in a good weight loss. I think it took me about 3 years. So I have a toddler body basically that I'm not accustomed to. And it wasn't
Yeah.
fast, but it was, you know, it's I was a size for a very long time.
Yeah. So again,
And
it's tiptoeing, it's practicing, it's whatever those pants were that she says actually fit you and you feel like they don't. I want you to like put them on, look in the
I
mirror.
wore them to work. I wore them to work because she
Yeah.
said that. And I
But
was okay.
get comfortable in them. Because there's also nothing saying you have to wear that size and you can't wear oversized clothes. I mean, you can, but
Well,
it's.
she does, and she's 20 and has a tiny body, so why can't I?
Yeah, exactly, right? You want to focus on you and what feels right to you and bring in that comfort. I think that tapping or your hand to your heart, reminding yourself you're safe, it's okay. It makes sense why my brain is going there, but this is my body and I'm actually okay. It may also help you to do just some touch, like some run your hands down your body or across your stomach or across your butt, that kind of thing, and say, this is my body. These pants fit okay.
Okay.
And then do some breathing. Just relax.
So
Okay.
almost like a meditation about like
Yes.
just.
Yep. Yeah. There's another one I've done on other calls as well. Like, if your head will not quiet down about it and is just throwing thoughts and thoughts and thoughts, like the overwhelm, actually, when you were shopping for clothing, there's another breathing one where you breathe just, I mean, basically regularly, you know, but just like in and out. And then you start to rub your tongue on the roof of your mouth. And I don't mean rub, feel the roof of your mouth with your tongue. You're trying to like feel the ridges, but you have to breathe. Then I want you to start touching two fingers together, like your finger and your thumb, in a way like you're trying to feel the ridges of your fingerprints. But
Okay,
you have
so
to be
very light.
very light, but you have to breathe, and you're doing the tongue on the roof of your mouth as well. Anybody at home can be doing this too.
Oh, you kind of have to concentrate on it. So you can't think about other things.
That's whirlwind tornado of thoughts tends to like side have to sidestep you because it's like, wait, she doesn't have time to think about this right now.
Okay. That's really helpful.
Yeah. So we've touched on a lot of different things here with this. But in the moment, help is the breathing, the touching. The homework assignments are for you to go sometimes to stores, try some things on just for the sake of going to the store and trying some things on. And then I do want you to visualize and think through those the next time there's an event. Just like you might do for a weekend. How am I going to show up? What might the obstacles be? You uncovered a pretty decent obstacle to when you don't feel comfortable in what you're wearing when it's something that you've got a lot of weight on. And I don't mean weight. I mean, like it's your anniversary. You're working hard to dress up and feel good, and you don't think you do. So you can visualize that and see through it and say, okay. How can I take care of me and feel okay? Okay.
I mean, honestly, I could have probably gotten away with saying, hey, let's not leave the house. Let's just go to the bedroom. But I wanted to have a special time.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Well,
So,
next time you're
okay.
going to get through and decide which one it's going to be, okay?
Thank you so much, Coach Lisa. I appreciate you
You are
so much.
So welcome, Whitney. All right, you take care. Have a good night. Thank you for
You
coming up.
too.
All right, I'm just going to check. No Q&A. I had somebody else with their hand raised for a second. If anybody else would like some coaching, we have a little bit of time left, so we totally could. Christy said, yes, that she needs her mind and body to connect in order to fully relax and be in the moment. It's a big one, ladies, a big one. And that she looks for who's covered under insurance. And that you can ask a pharmacist about which doctors they recommend. That is a great idea. Christy, I hadn't even thought of that. I probably could do that here too. But yeah, check with pharmacists, see who they recommend, who they know in the area. And check with your insurance as well. That's somebody else mentioned that to see what OBGYNs are covered. And your insurance carrier's in network directory. There you go. See, that's different. Other NOBS women help. Okay, does anybody have any more questions? Okay, Susan said, I have to leave, but she wanted to say that she's 67 and her doctor online in another state. Well, there's another option, ladies. Prescribed estrogen and progesterone for dryness. Also, vaginal estrogen tablets. It's worked for dryness. However, sex is still painful. Okay, so that's something I would want you to keep looking into. I'm wondering if you might still need, I believe foreplay is the answer. Yeah, I'm thinking estrogen and progesterone help with the dryness on a regular basis that can be like uncomfortable just for you in general. And probably for thinning skin. I know that's a thing as well. But if sex is still painful, then it sounds like you need extra lubricant, or that foreplay that we talked about. That massage one is one that to me, if you're short on time, that is the one to go for. Literal vulva massage. But otherwise, if you need more foreplay ideas, write into Ask Coaches and I can answer that. But yeah. All right. Nobody else has their hand raised. So maybe we will end a little early tonight if we don't have any other questions. I am not seeing anything from anyone, but I do want you all to think about you're welcome, Christy, for this call. You know what we were talking through. I want you to remember that pleasure isn't like something you're lucky if you get. Pleasure is something to me that you deserve and that is kind of your right to be able to ask for and get that pleasure. And it can be all on your own. Doesn't have to have anything to do with a partner. It can. Doesn't matter if that partner is male or female. It just doesn't matter. Pleasure comes from allowing your body to kind of be everything it can be. And your body's just such an amazing thing. So feel free to go explore that. And yeah, enjoy your body no matter what size. Don't be waiting. All right. Well, thank you all for tonight. Thursday night, I do have a question here. Thursday night, I will be hosting the Stop Fucking Around with the Same 5 Pounds call. So Thursday night, same time, 5 p.m. Central. And then next Tuesday is the nighttime eating and drinking call. And you get me again. So you may all be sick of me after the end of this week. I don't think so. You'll be fine. In the Q&A, I feel like I'm always coming back to the same thing. I can't get my mind in the mood. Any suggestions? Trial and error. Trial and error is how you work on. Maybe there's just periods in our lives where we don't have the time or space for it. You get to decide that too. If there is a lot going on in your life, is it appropriate for me to be worrying about that right now? But you also can. But you've got to take care of you. It's not just going to kind of happen to you. So I'm talking getting lotions, getting perfumes, talking, texting, visual stimulation. This is all part of knowing what you like. But getting your mind in the mood, we got to do things that are going to help with that. And I want you to think about like layering them in more and more. So, if you find a lotion that you like that kind of makes you feel a little sexy, well then great. Now find a candle that goes with it. Change the sheets on the bed, buy some new sheets. Do set some mood music that's going to go on, right? There's lots of different ways to bring it about. And I always find once I'm in the mood, I'm more in the mood. So it can also be a commitment, kind of like the way some people go to the gym and, Corinne talks about going to the gym. Well, I don't like it, but once I get there, I have fun. Same way. Could be, Kate, I'm going to commit to doing this and let's get some foreplay going and then see, like, does that help me get into the mood? Do I actually enjoy it once I'm done? So, and Lisa, first time at this call was interesting. Well, Lisa, this call is what we all make it. So, again, if you ever have any questions whatsoever about this topic, this is a once a month call. And we try to give like a diverse, whether it's body image or clothes or actual sex and intimacy, I'm here for any of it. So it's nice to have a bit of a balance. Emotional eating, someone says, is my number one problem, but I desperately want to lose the last 20 for the last time. Yes. So you are in the right place this month with that's what we're working on. We're working on understanding our eating. So get in there, Lisa, and look at that. And next month is all about stopping at enough. So you're going to have it figured out before the end of summer. And reach out through Ask Coaches if you have any other questions. Last question here in the Q&A. I used to love to give my husband blowjobs, not anymore. And I'd need to know why that's a problem. I'd be curious. What made you love them before? I have so many questions. So many questions. What made you love them before? What makes them not lovable now? Tastes terrible is a comment that I see here. Yeah, it can. Here's one, a funny thing. Okay, here's some real honest truth. Let me tell you. Before years ago now, my husband's not that into them, but I have on occasion. I've never really been bothered by the taste. It was fine. I wasn't bothered by it. But let me tell you what medication can do. Now I get it. I get what you're talking about because as soon as my husband started taking, I think it was when he started taking metformin. I'm not 100% sure, but I think that's what it was. He started taking that, and oh my God, did it taste horrible? I literally like choked and spat and was like, not expecting that at all. So it could just be that certain medications they're on take make it taste. It might have been metal like. Yeah, maybe metal like. It was disgusting. And I had never experienced that before. So I found that very funny to notice that actual change of a medication. And Christy, yes, our pharmacist here probably knows that's probably a thing, right? It's not just him. Have him eat some pineapples. There you go. That will make it taste different. Well, again, if he wanted them that often, maybe I would. But maybe for this person in the Q&A, maybe that's your answer. Is it the taste? A lot of times it could be mobility issues as well. And if that's the case, don't forget to try different positions. I will tell you one of the best blowjobs I ever gave was we'd gotten this like piece of cake or something. I don't know. It had like a really whipped creamy thing. And I used that whipped cream as like a lubricant. I really enjoyed that. It was so much fun. Tasted great. The cake was on my plan. So, right. Have some fun with it. But it could also be, so when you say you don't anymore, I'm assuming you mean you don't love to anymore. I want you to question why that is. Is it him? Is it you? Like, what is it about it that you don't like? If you want to write in to ask coaches, or email support at pnptribe.com, like directly to me, I can talk it through with you. But maybe it's him that doesn't like them anymore. Mine doesn't really. And I've actually, yeah. So that's it then. I think you got one last really intimate fact about me out there. Good job, everyone. And it was so fun to be here. I just love this call so much. So no more crazy questions, no more, and there's no crazy questions. I love them all. So you girls just got to give me some more detail so that I know exactly what you're talking about. And we will be here next month, I think around the same time, around the middle of the month. So I look forward to seeing you all then as well. Okay. Have a great night, everybody. Thank you. Bye-bye.